Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. This is TCNT Movie Talk. We talk about movies. We've got movies in theaters this week. TV Day Blue releases this week. Movies out this week, 10 years ago.
103.
And movies out this week, 20 years ago.
Oh, it's a great bad song. Great bad song.
Oh, they're a terrible band.
Yeah,
terrible band.
We are blessed to be joined by comedian Brian Miller.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Also, hashtag blessed to be joined by Representative Nick Zerwas.
The smaller blessed.
And then there's tiniest of all the blessings. And then we also have John and Drew.
I knew that was coming.
Hashtag not so blessed.
I see them every day.
Yeah. It's funny. I heard this great bit, and we should maybe save it for a Friday roundtable on the normal show. But it was songs that need to go away.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. The debate that took place on the show that I was listening to was just fantastic. Because inevitably, for every person that brought up like a good idea, someone would be like, no, here's all the reasons
I got three words for you, and those words are sweet and home and Alabama.
See, and then I say, no!
It's not that it's a bad song. I've just heard it the maximum number of times that anyone needs to hear that song.
Hotel California.
Yeah. Yes.
Quick Sweet Home Alabama story, and then we can get to it. And this is actually relevant because Talladega in Alabama, mm-hmm. right? Big NASCAR race this weekend, and it's big for Dale Jr. reasons, and I've been to the racetrack several times. But what was funny, the first time I went there, the place is huge. It's one of the biggest tracks that NASCAR has. It's 2.5 miles. Just a massive facility. So from the drive-in on the radio, through the gates, into the bathroom. Right? To the hot dog stand. To the seats when the band played. Hey, the cover band, local Alabama boys, got to start off with. All I heard was Sweet Home Alabama all day long.
And it's a great song.
It is.
It's a very good song. And the extended sort of guitar solo jam in the middle is really, really fantastic.
Undeniable.
It really is. But man, have I heard that. I could go the rest of my life and never hear that song again.
Out of college and being a bit older, and I've now realized just how obnoxious Sweet Caroline.
It's
just abuse.
They've been using that in the commercial lately, and it's really obnoxious, too.
That's like the karaoke bar forehead slapper.
It's when they take something that's kitschy and fun, and then everybody starts doing it. It takes the kitschiness and the funness away.
Absolutely.
On the Sweet Caroline note, they play that at like high school football games. I've noticed, because I've been at the high school football games at Buffalo, because I coach the cheerleading team, the student section doesn't seem to know that song. Because they'll play it, and then they'll have like the blank spots where everybody's supposed to be like bop bop bop, but like there's silence. It's so sad. We get a big crowd. There's a lot of people there, and I can hear parents on the other side doing it. But like the student section, there's like five kids maybe that are doing it.
There's nothing drunk middle aged white ladies like more to do than to do the bop bop bop.
Unless they play another song that I could never hear again and be happy, is Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Was the jazz singer Neil Diamond?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never, it was one of those ones I always saw like the cover as a kid of the movie. I never saw it. But I hear it's a really good movie.
Well, on from music talk to movie talk, we do have movies in theaters
nice
this
transition.
Week. Thank you. We have The Foreigner, Happy Death Day, and Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Women.
Plural.
I'll be.
That's the plot.
Yeah. I'll be going to see Blade Runner 2049 for a third time. The only one on the list here that even remotely looks interesting, but I won't go to the theater to see, is Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. And the only reason why I know anything about that story is because on one of the recent Marvel Blu-rays, and it wasn't. I'm sorry. It wasn't Marvel. My bad. Obviously, it wouldn't be. It was on the special features for Batman versus Superman. Hmm. There is a documentary about Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
And
William
how she
Marston?
Yeah, and how she came into existence. And it is a fascinating story.
Oh, yeah.
So the movie interests me on that level.
Yeah, same here. I am definitely interested in the Marston movie. Probably will wait and watch that at home. Doesn't feel like a movie I need to see in theaters, but, you know, if you get like a rainy Saturday morning and nothing better to do, I could see myself going to see that. I'm excited for Happy Death Day.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it looks bad.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it looks bad. I'm going to full disclosure.
The main character's... Drew, the main character's name is Tree.
I don't care.
Tree.
I don't care.
Tree.
I don't care. It doesn't look good, but it looks like fun bad.
It does look like fun bad.
My Bloody Valentine-y.
Right.
It doesn't even look fun bad. It
do you
just
have
looks
a do you have a synopsis?
Bad.
A synopsis?
Bad, bad.
Funny you should ask. I do.
Happy synopsis day.
Yes.
I love how it's getting more and more dramatic. That really pleases me.
Tree Gelbman is a blissfully self-centered collegian who wakes up on her birthday in the bed of a student named Carter. As the morning goes on, Tree gets the eerie feeling that she's experienced the events of this day before. When a masked killer suddenly takes her life in a brutal attack, she once again magically wakes up in Carter's dorm room unharmed. Now the frightened young woman must relive the same day over and over until she figures out who murdered her.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
But instead of just, like, you know, going through the course of the day and waking up and trying, she gets murdered. And the plot appears to be that she's got to figure out who's doing this and how to not
get murdered.
I don't want
to ruin the ending. It's Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
That would be amazing.
Or Bill Murray.
Or Bill Murray.
Murray at the end.
That mask comes off and it's Bill Murray. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I went through this once before.
So it says that it's supposed to be a comedy horror slasher film.
Yeah.
It is comedy-ish?
Like I said, doesn't look good. I think it's probably going to be pretty dumb. But
is it supposed to be like Scream or is it supposed to be funnier than Scream?
Funnier.
Like a funny version of
Scream. Funny. Scream is funny. Yeah. When we watch Scream, there's more comedy in that than horror.
Yeah.
What was the character's name again?
Tree
Gelbman.
Tree Gelb. Do you feel like that the whoever wrote this movie, like, that's supposed to mean something? There's like some symbolism there?
I don't know.
Maybe. Probably not.
No, it's probably the initials for some person is from college he didn't care for.
It's an anagram or something.
I want to kill this person over and over and over.
Now, Brian, you saw The Foreigner.
Yeah, saw The Foreigner on Wednesday. Have a review coming out of that in City Pages next week.
Yeah.
So you can see the full thing. Short, but if you want a sneak preview of the review,
Expand that into 1,000 words.
Yeah. Instead of one word, I did about 500. But, yeah. It's not enough Jackie Chan. You know, they bill it as Jackie Chan, The Foreigner, and it's very minimal Jackie Chan, maximal, unnecessary political, IRA political plot details with Pierce Brosnan and a bunch of Irish actors you've never seen.
How did that even happen? I mean, he's a producer. You'd think that he'd put himself in there more often.
He's probably limited on what he can do, so when he's on screen, they must maximize his potential and energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still pretty Jackie Chan-y, though.
Yeah.
I love Jackie Chan.
I like Jackie Chan, too. So he's 63 now.
How are we still making IRA plot movies.
Yeah, well, it's a 25-year-old British novel, and they try to, like, modernize it, but they're like, we haven't had an IRA bombing in forever. And it's like, yeah, it's been a long time. It's weird that you did a movie about it.
Yeah, because it's over.
Yeah, right.
That's so weird. I think I'm actually going to steal John's idea, and I think this weekend is probably going to be Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, so good.
Haven't seen it yet. So
it's real good.
Yeah. Not my third time.
Yeah.
Like John, but
that movie stuck with me, man. It really did. It's just a good movie. Real quick, Jackie Chan shows up in the Ninjago movie.
Huh?
They do kind of a Lego movie thing where it starts off, but this time it starts off in the real world, and so he basically tells a story with the kid, and so he's a part of.
Literally Jackie, not just his voice.
It's Jackie Chan. Yeah, he's, Yeah. I was like, hey, he's in this.
He kind of like disappeared. He didn't really do anything for a while.
I thought he quit acting. That's what I
did. A bunch of Chinese movies. When I was writing the review, I was looking it up, and I was like, because I had the same thought. I was like, I haven't seen Jackie Chan since like Rush Hour 3.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's in a bunch of different things.
Yeah,
Sam, I think Drew is impulse buying tickets to go see Happy Death Day. Maybe he'll take you.
Would you like to join me?
Sure.
All right.
She's gonna murder you.
And actually, I mean, after reading a little bit more about it, I could maybe see it. Maybe. I just really
do
can't
you do
get
the
past.
Horror? Yeah, where do you land on the horror? Do you do the horror at all?
Yeah, I actually like seeing horror films because I get so, and I've said this before, where I get so genuinely terrified.
Oh, I love it. I love watching horror movies where people get scared.
Yeah, I get so scared, like jumping out of my seat and trying to like escape the room scared. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
So DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. We have Wish Upon, The House, and Open Water 3 Cage Dive.
The only we can get to that. The only one that that I heard Wish Upon was that premise looked really good, and I heard it was awful. It's the horror movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wanted to see it, and then the reviews
were horrible,
awful.
And The House was one where I really wanted to see it. That it looked really funny, and I heard that was awful.
Yeah.
Now I will say that
you told me The House was like,
oh my God,
yeah,
okay,
it was bad.
Hold on. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of grief for this. I'm ready to take the heat.
I'm ready to give it to you.
Okay. So we watched Baywatch.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, I watched a third of Baywatch.
Okay. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. But it bummed me out because there were like moments where I went, okay, that was funny.
No, I agree.
Okay.
No,
all right.
I don't disagree with what was weird about that movie is they'd have a section where, okay, that's kind of funny. And then like the whole scene with the guy getting stuck in the lawn chair.
So dumb.
There was and then they'd have like 20 minutes where they're just doing real plot. And you're like, why am I watching all this real plot?
Well, and the thing that I thought, because you watched it too, right?
No.
You didn't see Baywatch.
No, it's
okay.
Bad.
The thing that I thought was really weird in it, and Sam, you watched how much
I watched a little bit of it, okay. And then I had to leave and do something else.
I watched a good chunk of it on an airplane, and I was so mad at myself.
It had moments, but I thought the poor man's Josh Gad character.
Oh, I hated that guy. So
right,
much.
But they had this interesting dynamic with the substitute for Pamela Anderson girl in the movie,
mm-hmm.
And she was actually like really enjoyable.
Yeah, she was really good
and a really good character.
Uh-huh.
It was a very bizarre film.
Yep.
That's why
it was so weird. It was like four versions of a Baywatch remake, and three of them were terrible, and one of them was interesting, and they chopped them all up and mixed them into one movie.
I remember you saying that after you saw it back when it was in theaters.
Whose fault do you think that is? Is that the fault of the producers? Is it the fault of the writers? I mean,
probably too many cooks in the kitchen.
I think it strikes me as in one of those movies that has Apatow syndrome, which is we have bones of a script, and we're going to improvise a bunch of crap, and then we're going to put it together in the editing room, and those movies almost never work.
And that's The House.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Exactly what The House. It's like The House has so many funny people in it. There is no excuse for that movie to not be hilarious.
Is it worse than Baywatch? Because that was using my example.
I haven't seen Baywatch. So.
Oh, okay.
But
So I'll give House a chance.
I don't think I laughed once.
Which is crazy. I mean, you have Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Jason Matsoukas.
He's hysterical. That guy's great.
He's the only like little gem of comedy in that entire movie.
I haven't seen the movie, but I haven't heard from a single person that watched that movie and was
that's
like,
insane.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
No.
No, the consensus is how with that cast do you make something that bad?
Well, and it's a decent premise.
It's exactly what Brian said. Yeah. They get a decent premise. They get a few bare bones of a script. You know, here's the story. We're going to walk through it. And then they just tell everybody, okay, go be funny.
Yeah, riff. Yeah, everyone riff. We'll do a bunch of takes.
It's such a waste of Will Ferrell. It's such a waste of Amy Poehler. Such a waste of all the good people in that movie. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, whatever. Maybe there's some funny stuff that got left on the editing room floor. But, man, that movie was just a stinker.
Well, and that's what they said when all was said and done with Lord and Miller getting booted off of the Han Solo movie, is that's what they were doing. They were like, they were shooting the script, and then they go, okay, we got the script. Now, everybody, riff.
Yeah.
And they were piecing together like the riff stuff, and then they were all like, no.
Yeah.
No, you do the script.
I think once you watch like the making of like 40-year-old Virgin or Knocked Up and you see how they do it, once you get that process, when you watch a movie where they do that, I just see all the strings. I'm just like, oh, there they go. That's just a riff. They're just doing another hit. Everybody has to hit the 9 punchlines for one joke. And it's like, no, that's not. I don't need everything to sound like real life, but not everyone does 9 callbacks like a stand-up comic in every conversation.
Right, right.
And movies out this week, 10 years ago, we had Elizabeth, The Golden Age.
Ugh, boring.
Lars and the Real Girl. We Own the Night and Why Did I Get Married?
I don't think
I know all these movies.
I don't think I've seen any of those or know, apart from Elizabeth, what they're even about.
Lars and the Real Girl not to step on your synopsis, Sam, is a Ryan Gosling, a really overrated thing where he falls in love with a doll. That's kind of a fun, weird premise that's kind of unpleasant to actually watch.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie.
It's not bad.
It's not a bad movie.
But it's not good.
Yeah. They could have gone either like a sweet direction or a comedy direction, and they kind of just hung out in the middle and tried to hit a little bit of both notes, and it ends up just being awkward.
Yep. Why Did I Get Married is a very bad Chris Rock comedy, because Chris Rock, as talented as the guy is, has trouble with movies, except for the new one with Rosario Dawson I kind of liked. Top five. Top five's not bad. Brian Regan's in it.
No.
Look.
Yeah. I haven't heard of that one either.
What was the –
We Own the Night?
Oh, We Own the Night. Pretty good crime movie with Joaquin Phoenix that was directed by somebody who just did a better movie. Very
James Gray.
Yeah, James Gray, who did The Immigrant, and he just did Lost City of Z, which just came out on DVD.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that you guys watch Lost City of Z. It is fantastic. John, I think you will love it. Nick, you'll love it, too. I think you guys will all love it.
Yeah, I've got it on my list of movies to watch.
It's an adventure movie. It's old-fashioned. It's a little slower paced, but it's totally worth it.
Okay, cool.
Plus, Sam, don't you like Charlie Hunnam a lot? Don't you fancy him? The blonde guy from Sons of Anarchy? I know somebody who's just
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim. Okay.
Could fancy him.
Crimson Tide.
He seems like Crimson
Peak.
Up your alley, you know?
I think it was me.
it probably was.
Nick, have you seen any of these movies?
I have not seen any of them at all.
I actually do really like drama, history, period piece type movies, but I've never, ever, ever felt compelled to watch Elizabeth the Golden Age. And I normally really do like movies like that, but like just looking at it, I don't like her. It doesn't look good.
You know, we were talking, speaking of sort of the period films, we were talking, being October and watching horror movies, we watched, don't want to wipe out on it, but watched Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies again the other night. Have you guys seen
that? Is that good?
It's really fun. That movie.
If you liked Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I did not.
Okay, then you would not like Pride and Prejudice. And
I think...
It's literally the same writer, isn't it? Seth Graham Smith?
Hold on real quick. I disagree, because Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is... Because I just watched that yesterday. It's really stylized. I like that movie.
Odds that you just watched that? How many movies do you watch? Just pulled out a
Pride,
random
Prejudice,
movie.
And Zombies is not. It is way more straightforward than... I can understand why you didn't like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I had a question, but I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry. No. I have not seen...
Lily James.
Seen or read Pride and Prejudice.
It's boring.
Does it matter?
No.
Would I get more from it if I had?
No.
It tells the Pride and Prejudice story, but it adds zombies to it, and it's really good.
You've seen Pride and Prejudice and don't know it. It's the plot to Bridget Jones' Diary. It's the plot to a lot of romantic comedies. The Mr. Darcy thing has been remade about 50 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah. It's one of those go-to formulas.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Movies out this week 20 years ago, Boogie Nights and The Sweet Hereafter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Boogie Nights, man. That's a classic.
That's one of the greatest movies made in the last 50 years.
It's a classic.
Really, that is unbelievably good.
Yes. Doesn't get discussed all that often.
No.
And probably because of the subject matter. But that is a really good movie.
Here's something that history has kind of forgotten, which was when that movie came out, it was shocking, because this was before smartphones and before the internet was really fast, and porn was still something people did not talk about. Mm-hmm. And when Boogie Nights came out, it was shocking that somebody was going to make a movie
Try
to even imply that they were showing, you know, like, obviously there's no actual sex in the movie, but, you know, well, the characters are supposed to be, and it's all, you know, sultry or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It was shocking. Right. Amazing movie.
And there was so much buzz about the ending.
Yeah. The fate,
there was
right?
So much buzz.
That's another thing you didn't used to see a lot of in movies that you see more of now.
And it was like, it was considered like a big shock surprise ending.
Yeah.
For at the time that it came out.
Yeah. His raging bull moment.
What was he telling himself in the mirror?
I'm a big, bright, shining star. I'm a bright, beautiful, shining star.
That's right. That's right. I forgot.
God, that's a great movie.
I know. It's a really good movie.
I mean, you got Goodfellas is in there. You've got Saturday Night Fever is in there. You've got Raging Bull. It's all these great movies pulled into this just perfect package. John C. Reilly. Yeah. When John C. Reilly is explaining to Marky Mark how to make the margaritas while they're at the pool scene, that those guys
John
together.
John C. Reilly is so good.
So Philip Seymour Hoffman is tragic in that movie. William H. Macy is just perfect. I love
Burt
that movie.
Reynolds.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is really, really good in that movie.
I watch that movie probably more than once a year.
Yeah.
He's my favorite director.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Rewatch.
I'm going to rewatch that soon because that is a fantastic film.
P.T. Anderson.
Best movie is
good
that?
Soundtrack.
Boogie Nights.
Oh,
really
Nights,
great
okay.
soundtrack.
A great soundtrack.
Perfect soundtrack.
How about The Sweet Hereafter?
Good movie.
That?
It's based on a really good novel by a guy named Russell Banks. And the movie is by Adam Egayan, who's a Canadian film director. It's super depressing. It's about a bus full of school children that falls through the ice and dies.
Ah!
And it's about the parents trying to like re-put their lives together after all this.
It sounds like an awful,
super depressing.
Nobody sounds
it's like... good.
We were too busy going back to the theater to watch Boogie Nights.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's really good.
Did two people review it?
It was Oscar-nominated. Adam Egayan was a really hot indie director for a brief time, and then he really fell apart, especially with – he did a movie where Kevin Bacon and Colin Firth basically played Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis if they had three ways with women all the time, and then someone ends up dead. And so he kind of ruined his reputation on this big, expensive bomb, and he's never come back from it. But Sweet Hereafter is a pretty good movie, but it's a – bummer.
It sounds like a huge bummer.
Same writer wrote Affliction, which is made into a pretty good movie with Nick Nolte about him and his dad, where he's kind of the cop who's going crazy.
Yeah,
that's a good
movie.
So we've talked quite a bit, and we'll start and work our way towards Harvey Weinstein. And I'm just curious.
Usually people try to work their way away from him.
Well, no, but remember we talked about within and we mentioned this on the show that there were a couple of different within the movie pop culture, not mainstream,
yeah.
But within the movie pop culture, there were a couple of stories that came out of individuals who had allegations of different types of abuse when it comes to women. We had the Devin Faraci story,
right?
And then we also had Harry Knowles came out. I'm actually on Ain't It Cool right now, who does AintItCool.com. And then we have this Harvey Weinstein story. Do you think, and I haven't put anything together, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Is there any connection between all these? I'm wondering if there was these women coming forward, having been quiet for so long with these other individuals. I'm wondering if it was somewhat of a domino effect that led to Harvey Weinstein and the exposure. And then sort of once there were two or three women that came out and were brave enough to go and admit what had happened, that it just ended up, you know, it gave the confidence for everybody else that had been assaulted, allegedly assaulted by this individual.
I think you're onto something with that. I don't think it's like any one thing. I think it's like a general kind of ephemeral cultural move in that direction.
Yeah.
But I do think, though, with this Weinstein thing, like now Affleck is starting to have a lot of people come out about him.
Yes.
I think you are going to see
Ben
a lot. Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot more of this. A lot of people being called out more directly now.
Well, and there is an unfortunate sidebar, and I say unfortunate because I think that people need to be a little bit more selective. But what I mean is, there's a video clip of Jason Momoa that came out. Did you hear about this?
I saw a reference to it. He like made a joke.
It was a number of years ago. He was at Comic-Con. He was doing a panel for Game of Thrones, and they asked him, and it was like, how many years has Game of Thrones been out now?
Seven
seasons. So probably 8 years.
I think this was about 7 years ago, and the whole cast of Game of Thrones was up there on stage, and Jason Momoa says, "Well, it's pretty great because I get to rape a bunch of beautiful women," and everybody on the stage kind of chuckled. But the video in the wake of Weinstein has popped back up, and now he's getting all this controversy attached to him on top of Affleck, and they're saying that it could end up affecting Justice League, which comes out in a number of weeks.
I'm all for anybody who's done stuff. I'm all for people going and getting them out and telling their stories and getting these people out of the business and everything. I do worry when it starts trickling down to he made a comment one time that wasn't funny. It's like, that's not the same thing as a guy who's a serial abuser of women. Bad joke, not the same thing.
Right. Well, and a joke that references actions that happen inside of a fictional world.
Right.
Where a lot of horrific things.
Not a great joke, by the way. I'm not saying that, but that's a very different thing.
He didn't hurt anybody.
No, than somebody who's abusing their power like that.
So next week, let us know how Happy Death Day is.
I will hopefully go see it this weekend.
You let us know how Blade Runner 2049 is.
Yes.
I think I'm going to try to see Blade Runner 2.
You should.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
This is TCNT Movie Talk right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We talk about movies every single week, so tune in again next week.